بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كما رواه الترمذي في حديث حسن غريب أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا تظهر الشماتة لأخيك فيرحمه الله عز وجل ويبتليك. One of the things that people generally get up to when they have some enemies or they don't like some people or they distrust some people is that whenever a misfortune comes upon them, then they get satisfied by that. They rejoice at that. Now, while that may seem like some kind of revenge or some kind of contentment for the heart, that when somebody has something wrong and you feel good about it, it's like you're getting your own back without actually doing anything. It's like a free kind of revenge. What we have to understand that it's actually quite detrimental. And the reason it's detrimental is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has specifically spoken about this. He's actually asked for refuge from this. That, oh Allah, don't make anybody rejoice at my calamity or my misfortune. So this is a dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. Now, unfortunately, some people become habituated to this. They don't find anything wrong in doing this. They don't feel bad about this because some people might think that, oh, I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything wrong to them. This is deserving. Now, the deceptive aspect of this is that when a misfortune happens, when a misfortune takes place and afflicts somebody, then generally, because misfortune is generally seen as a punishment by people, that, oh, I must have done something wrong, or he must have done something wrong, that's why this kind of thing is happening. And that's why that becomes problematic, because we think that misfortune can happen to somebody only because they've done something wrong. Now, even if they have done something wrong, it doesn't justify that we can rejoice at that. That's why Wathila relates that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as this in this hadith of Tirmidhi, that don't express joy, la tudhhir ash-shamata, don't express joy li akhik, at your brother, at your sister. Don't express joy at somebody else, meaning don't express joy at somebody else's misfortune. That's the word shamata in Arabic. The word shamata in Arabic literally means al-farh بِبَلِيَّةِ الْعَدُوِ الْفَرْحْ بِبَلِيَّةِ الْعَدُوِ, which means to be satisfied, to rejoice, to get happy and exhilarated that some enemy of yours has been hit by a misfortune, has been tested in some way, has had an accident, for example. Somebody had an accident, somebody was going and then they throw their dress, somebody's handbag got stolen, for example, somebody's car got scratched, somebody lost their job, somebody had a problem in their family, somebody got a divorce. All of these things are reasons why somebody may rejoice if they have that evil in their heart. So, لا تظهر الشماتة لأخيك. Do not express any kind of joy at your brother's misfortune, at another person's misfortune. Why? فَيَرْحَمُهُ اللَّهُ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may end up having mercy on him and compassion on him and relieving him of that by his mercy, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will yabtalika, which will, that he will engage you in this, he will test you with this. So that's quite dangerous in the sense that what we have to understand is that the basis of all of this is that this world is a world in which we all are equal. Anything that can happen to somebody else can happen to us as well, because we're all the same and equal when it comes to being human beings. There is no difference between us. So nobody can say that I am absolutely protected from this until death, until our fate is not sealed with our death, essentially. There's no way that any of us can actually think that that's it. I am not getting involved in this. Or I will never be involved in something like this. There have been so many people who've said, look how bad that person is. Look at what, you know, he's done in his life. Look how misfortune, you know, look how how much misfortune he has, or whatever the case is. And then a few years later, this person is engaged in the same kind of problem. Don't laugh at anybody else, because what goes around comes around. That's a general rule of the world, because everybody's the same in this world. And all calamities, they can hit anybody, because that's just generic. right? It can hit anybody. That's why the Prophet ﷺ is teaching us a massive lesson here, is that do not express joy at your brother's misfortune, because it's very likely that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can have mercy on him, which means that he relieve him. Now he's in a much better state, she's in a much better state, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has then engaged you or tested you with that thing. For example, somebody got divorced and you started laughing at them, you started rejoicing at them, you may have even gone and said something to them. And this is not saying that go and taunt them in their face. This is just rejoicing even secretly, because people know and people fear that others will rejoice at their misfortune. So just the fact, and to kind of give a hint about these things. So then somebody got divorced, for example, somebody and another person rejoiced at this. Later on, mashallah, this person who got divorced earlier, right, she got married to somebody way better. She's now very happy, you know, she's got everything that she needs. And then this individual, the first individual, gets divorced, right? So it's happened so often. It happens so often. That's why there's another hadith that's related by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. And that's where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a dua. Now, if you concentrate on everything that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is seeking refuge from in this dua, it's the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ta'awwadhu billahi min jahdil bala wa darki shaka wa su'il qada wa shamatatil a'da." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is asking us to seek refuge from four different things, and all four of those things are very tough. All four of those things are very tough. So I'll tell you what he says. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Seek refuge in Allah from jahdil bala." Jahdul bala is bala. Bala means a test, a challenge, something that comes about, a misfortune, a difficulty, something that we find it very difficult. Then jahdul bala, the burden and the difficulty and the pain of dealing with that. So one is that you have a calamity come upon you, but you're able to deal with it. But this one is when the pain of it, the burden of it, the difficulty of it, the hardship of it is so great that it really jahd. It puts you into great kind of misery and effort and turmoil. That's why somebody was asked that, what is worse than the calamity itself? He says that the worst thing about a calamity is how to deal with it. Is the difficulty of that it brings you psychologically, the effect that creates around you. So the Prophet ﷺ said, ask Allah for the protection from jahdul bala. Bala is going to come to us because Allah is going to test people in the world. But jahdul bala, you can ask for afiyah as well in general, but at least jahdul bala, which means to the pain of it, the hardship of it is removed. Wa darki shaqa, which means that we attain misfortune. Shaqa is misfortune in the hereafter, actually worse than the misfortune of the world. Now, can you imagine how big all of these are, how mighty pains all of these things are, how much of a misfortune all of these things are? So to attain a shaqa, shaqa, as I said, is misfortune, being at loss in the hereafter, not being sa'id. The shaqa, shaqawa is the opposite of sa'ada. Sa'ada is falahud darain, which means the success of the two abodes. Shaqa is the opposite of that, where a person is not fortunate in this world or in the hereafter. And su'ul qada, an evil fate, an evil destiny, that just bad things keep happening to me, and it's all written, it's all seems to be going wrong. So the Prophet ﷺ said, ask for protection from that. Now, if it wasn't possible to change these things, then the Prophet ﷺ wouldn't have asked for refuge from them. But because the Prophet ﷺ is saying, ask refuge and seek refuge from these things, then obviously it proves that there is a possibility of these things changing, and they will change if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts your dua. So those are the three things. One is the great troubles that come with challenges that face us and fitnas that face us. And number two is attaining misfortune. Number three is a bad fate and destiny. And the fourth one is shamatatul a'da. Now, all of those things are big things. And with that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also saying in the same line, shamatatul a'da, which means that my enemies rejoice at my misfortune. Because one is, you have a misfortune, you have a way of dealing with that maybe. So if something happens, you got an accident, whatever, you're able to overcome that. But when other people are laughing, there's not much you can do about that, especially when you don't even know they're doing it, but you think they're doing it. It's just, how do you deal with that kind of a thing? So shamatatul a'da is very, very, very bad. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from it. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in another hadith related by Imam Hakim from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and Ibn Hibban from Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's dua was kana rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam yad'u. This is his dua: Allahumma la tushmit bi aduwan hasidan. Oh Allah, don't let an envious, jealous enemy of mine rejoice at a misfortune, rejoice at anything that happens to me. So this tells us something else. Generally speaking, although not always, but it's generally going to be people who are jealous and envious or have something against us. It doesn't have to be jealousy. And there may be somebody who's not jealous of us at all, but they just hate us for some reason, right? Yeah. Most of the time, I think it's going to be that they're jealous of us though. Because if they're jealous of something and something bad happens, then it's like something free misfortune has, it's like a free misfortune has overtaken your enemy. And somebody you're envious of is like an enemy in a sense. But it doesn't have to be somebody who is like that only. It can be it can be just an enemy in general. You're not jealous of them, but you just don't want to see them in a high position. You want their failure. So that's why when something wrong happens. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is summing it up here by saying that don't let any of my enemies who are also envious of me rejoice at my calamity. A very similar dua that Harun alayhi salam makes. What happens is when Musa alayhi salam went for that special meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that special intimate discourse with him, when he came, he was told on his way back that your people behind you have started worshipping that calf, that golden calf. He had left Harun alayhi salam behind to look after them. فَلَمَّا رَجَعَ مُوسَى إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ غَدْبَانَ أَسِفًا. Right. He came back extremely perturbed. He'd gone for a great thing. He'd just taken them and extracted them out of the clutches of Pharaoh, out of all of that misery and slavery for that whole generation that were there. Now they're free, and subhanAllah, they turn to this because of, you know, Samiri and because of their own foolishness. So he'd left Harun alayhi salam behind. So now what happens is that whenever generally you've left somebody in charge and something wrong happens in their charge, you're going to get really angry at that person because you can't really do anything to the other people because they're foolish anyway. So he comes back, grabs his the head of his brother, and this was just one way of showing their kind of concern or anger, or some mufassirin actually say that maybe he was trying to tell him something. But either way, it seemed to look like he was he was doing something to his brother. So immediately Musa alayhi salam, Harun alayhi salam says to his brother, la tushmit bi al-a'da wa la taj'alni ma'a al-qawmi adh-dhalimin. Don't let the enemy rejoice at my misfortune. You know, he gave his reasons of why he couldn't do anything, because he explained that if he tried to stop them, the group would have split into two, and that disunity in that particular case would have been worse, because then there would have been no control whatsoever. And he probably hoped that, you know, things would have come right once Musa alayhi salam came back, as they did when he took care of Samiri. So when Harun alayhi salam was dealt with this way by his brother, this is what he said. He says, look, don't make it such that our enemies will rejoice at us that now there's infighting between the two brothers. That's even worse. Don't express that outside. And do not now make me as part of these oppressive people. Don't join me with them as well. Don't include me with them as well. And, you know, in the way you're punishing me, because this is not very wise something to do. So he makes the same kind of dua, because it's just much worse. That it's much worse than dealing with your own problems yourself, that somebody else has to laugh at you. It just feels like, you know, the walls are watching you. That's how bad it gets. That's why Ayyub alayhi salam, his famous story, it's known about him that he was afflicted with all of this great diseases and loss of family, everything that he lost. You know, the famous story of Ayyub alayhi salam, somebody asked him afterwards, أَيُّ شَيْءٍ مِّن بَلَائِكَ كَانَ أَشَدَّ عَلَيْكَ. أَيُّ شَيْءٍ مِّن بَلَائِكَ كَانَ أَشَدَّ عَلَيْكَ. Which part of your test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which part of this test of yours was the worst for you, was the most difficult for you? So he said, شَمَاتَةُ الْأَعْدَى. He said, the rejoicing of my enemies. People who didn't, you know, like me for whatever reason, people who had opposed me for whatever reason, when they saw this coming to me, subhanAllah, it's like your enemy has been vanquished without you doing anything. It's like a free kind of, there's just so much potential there for people to rejoice and take it wrongly. So that's why our deen tells us about personal ethics, because it's really between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If something misfortune is happening to somebody else, then clearly, there's a lot of room from our human nature and human weakness to just rejoice at that, because we've not had to do anything and they've been afflicted. But what we have to remember is that if we do rejoice, and that person, especially if that person is not wrong and this is just a test, or he's made tawbah afterwards, they've repented afterwards for whatever their wrong was, even if you didn't like them for a good reason in the sense that they are doing wrong, if they've made tawbah, especially if they've made tawbah, then more so the effect, the bad influence of that will come upon us, as I will mention. There's a poem, a poet says, فَمَا عَيْشُ مَنْ قَدْ عَاشَ بَعْدِي بِنَافِعِي وَلَا مَوْتُ مَنْ قَدْ مَاتَ قَبْلِي بِمُخَلِّدِي. So, فَمَا عَيْشُ مَنْ قَدْ عَاشَ بَعْدِي بِنَافِعِي وَلَا مَوْتُ مَنْ قَدْ مَاتَ قَبْلِي وَلَا مَوْتُ مَنْ قَدْ مَاتَ قَبْلِي بِمُخَلِّدِي. Basically, this is just the rule of life. What the poet is saying is that the continuous living, or the remaining life of the one who lives after me, is not going to benefit me. The one who lives after I die and who continues to live, that's not going to be to my benefit. And neither is the death of the one who dies before me, is that going to make me live forever? So if somebody dies before me, it's not going to make me live forever. I'm going to die within the next so on, you know, in the next few months or years or whatever the case is. And if somebody does carry on living more than me, well, that's not going to benefit me either. So it should be a non-issue. It should not be something that I need to be concerned about, that somebody carries on living or somebody dies before me. It doesn't make a difference. It's all up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that's what happens sometimes. If you're jealous of somebody, you wish that he would just die, disappear off this earth, so that's it. You won't have to look at their achievements anymore or their successes anymore, because they're gone, right? There's just no option, there's no possibility. But that's just no point. You'd rather ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve us of this kind of thought. That's a better thing to do, because at the end of the day, both concepts are just expectations, are just hopes, are just desires. That I desire that somebody die. I desire that somebody's not there anymore. Well, why desire that? Why can't we desire that I don't have this problem anymore? You know, and that's a possibility as well, within the realm of possibilities. It's just about positive thinking. That's why I remember once I was with another sheikh there was a program we attended together in America, and his son comes crying to him. He's about 12 years old. His son comes crying to him and he's saying, you know, so-and-so, a local boy, a local friend of his, you know, somebody that he hangs around with at school and other things, he's been doing this, that and the other to him, you know, and he started saying bad things about him. So the sheikh said to him, why are you praying like that against your friend? Or against this local lad. Instead of that, why don't you pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah make him a good person and Allah allow us to come together. That will be better. Otherwise, you'll have to deal with this enmity all your life. But if you're friends or you can get along amicably, then there's nothing wrong with that. So it's positive thinking. It's about trying to change it positively. It takes a while to do this though. It takes a lot of people, because especially if we've been grown up with a lot of negative feeling towards people and we feel that people deserve certain responses or certain types of attitude, then that's where it gets much more difficult. There's another hadith relating from Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, مَنْ عَيَّرَ أَخَاهُ بِذَنْبٍ لَمْ يَمُتْ حَتَّى يَعْمَلُهُ حتى يعمله من عير أخاه بذنب لم يمت حتى يعمله. This is that really, really frightening hadith, that anybody who taunts another person with a sin, then the person who's taunting will not die until he also falls into that same sin. That is where it gets there. That's why Ahmad ibn Mani explains this, that this is referring to a sin that the person has made tawbah from. So anybody who taunts, reminds, brings up in a negative way a sin that somebody had committed and kind of taunts him with it, and that person has made tawbah from it and repented from it, then the person who's doing this is not going to die until he's also involved in that, which means that he will get involved in this. And that's it's happened so many times. That is really, this hadith is related by Imam Tirmidhi. It's a weak hadith, but it's related by Imam Tirmidhi, and it's been observed that this generally happens. And number two, you know, somebody might say, well, he hasn't made tawbah. How do you know? Like, okay, he keeps doing it, that's why. He keeps doing it. Yes, he keeps doing it, but how do you know that he hasn't made tawbah and then done it again? This is a fresh sin. Because we're told to make tawbah every day. You know, we're told to make istighfar every day and to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we also probably make tawbah from something and maybe do it again. Not everybody is able to just make tawbah once and end of story, a sealing kind of tawbah. It's just not always the case. So the safest approach is you just don't do this. It's prohibited. Just don't do it. Just consider it to be completely prohibited. Now, what about the case where somebody is really a bad person, and then in doing that bad, they were just really, you know, for example, a lot of these tyrant rulers or tyrants, gangster people, mafia people, just people who go and kill left, right and center indiscriminately, just violent people of that nature. What about them and something bad happens to them? Again, you have to be careful, though you can be definitely satisfied that the world has been relieved of such a person. So you can be, you know, there's a way to deal with this where, yes, alhamdulillah, it's a relief that that person's gone, right? That person's gone, alhamdulillah, it's a relief. The you know, like for example, some of these against the Muslims in different countries who have been aggressing against Muslims, you can be relieved about that, absolutely. And you can be joyful in that sense, that alhamdulillah, in that sense. But when it's to another brother or sister, and it's not something like that, it's just that you're jealous of them. See, there's a difference. One is there's a violent person, and now alhamdulillah, people have been given respite. They've been given delivery from this person's violence. That's something to be rejoiced. But not when it's something that is just somebody, something bad happening to just somebody who you have an enmity for or jealousy for no reason whatsoever. That's why one of the other scholars, he said, عِبْتُ شَخْصًا قَدْ ذَهَبَ بَعْضُ أَسْنَانِهِ فَذَهَبَتْ أَسْنَانِي. Basically, this is just somebody recollecting some of his own little tragedies in this regard. He says that once I criticized somebody and taunted somebody for some teeth that they had missing. And people do that all the time, right? They say these different words that they have for people whose teeth are missing in different languages. So he said, once I just taunted him for that, and that was just that, you know, some of his teeth were missing and probably had a glaring gap. And then my teeth all went. So it's essentially we're all going to be afflicted by similar things. It's just a matter of time. And if Allah doesn't like it at all, what we did, then khalas, then it's going to happen even further. And that's why another the person said also, وَنَظَرْتُ إِلَىٰ إِمْرَأَةٍ لَا تَحِلُّ لِي فَنَظَرَتْ زَوْجَتِي مَنْ لَا أُرِيدُ. He said, I looked at a woman that was not halal for me to look at, you know, with a lustful gaze probably. And what happened then is that my wife started to look at people I didn't want her to look at. So it's being affected in a like manner. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the calamities of our deeds. Because Ibn al-Jawzi, the great scholar of Baghdad, one of my most favorites, he says that this is happened so much to such a degree, and he was a very perceptive person, very intuitive, very had a great amount of basira. He had a great amount of basira and insight, and he's somebody who had really, really assessed himself. If there was a man of muhasaba, then you know these are the people. He said that whenever ma nazalat bi afatun, wala ghammun, wala dhiqu sadrin, illa bi zalalin a'rifuhu. That's what he says. He says that never has any kind of calamity come upon me, any kind of grief struck me, or a constriction in the heart where I felt bad about something, except that it was because of a slip that I made and I recognized that slip. So essentially he was keeping track of all of his actions. That it's because of this that I did that this has happened. He's immediately tracing the connections. حَتَّى يُمْكِنُنِي أَنْ أَقُولَ هَذَا بِالشَّيْءِ الْفُلَانِ. You know, I had assessed it to such a degree and I recognized it that I would be able to say that this is because of such a deed. وَرُبَّمَا تَأَوَّلْتُ تَأْوِيلًا فِيهِ بَعْدُ فَأَرَى الْعُقُوبَةِ. He said, sometimes I would try to interpret it differently and try to not connect the two and not say it's because of this, and then I would see the punishment of it afterwards. So he says that generally it's whatever wrong, I mean, just taking this further, it's not just about what we say and taunt others about their sin or rejoice at somebody else's misfortune. It's not just about that. It's any wrong that we do, right? Any wrong that we do, it will come back in some form or shape unless we make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when you've done it to somebody else, when it's rejoicing at somebody else's calamity, it's got nothing to do with us, then in that case, it's even worse. That's what these hadith are saying. That's why the suggestion is that فَيَنْبَغِي لِلْإِنسَانِ أَنْ يَتَرَقَّبْ جَزَاءَ الذَّنْبِ فَقَلَّ أَنْ يَسْلَمَ مِنْهُ. That you should always look out for the effect of a sin that we commit, because very seldom does a person remain safe from that. And وَلْيَجْتَهِدْ فِي التَّوْبَةِ. Person should avidly try to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it's the only thing that can relieve us of the misfortunes that come from such a thing. That's why Mahmud al-Warraq has this poem. He says, رَأَيْتُ صَلَاحَ الْمَرْءِ بِصَلَاحِ أَهْلِهِ وَرَأَيْتُ صَلَاحَ الْمَرْءِ يَصْلُهُ أَهْلُهُ وَيَعْدِيهِمْ دَاءُ الْفَسَادِ إِذَا فَسَدَ ويشرف في الدنيا بفضل صلاحه ويحفظ بعد الموت في الأهل والولد. What that means is, he says, رأيت صلاح المرء يصلح أهله. What I have seen of the piety of an individual is that his family will be pious and righteous. ويعديهم داء الفساد إذا فسد. And if he becomes corrupt, then they will also be struck by the illness. They will also be struck by the illness of corruption as well. They will also be corrupt because of that. And he then says, وَيَشْرُفُ فِي الدُّنْيَا بِفَضْلِ صَلَاحِهِ. It's only from the grace of your righteousness and piety that a person will gain honor. And وَيُحْفَظُ بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ فِي الْأَهْلِ وَالْوَلَدِ. And not only will a person become honored and because of the grace of his own piety and goodness, not only will he benefit from it, but he will also be protected after his death in terms of his wealth, in terms of his family and children. They will also be protected after his death because of the piety that a person had in their own life. That's why there's another dua we were mentioning, the hadith, اللهم احفظني بالإسلام قائما واحفظني بالإسلام قائدا ولا تشمد بي عدوا ولا حاسدا. Which means, oh Allah, protect me in my Islam when I'm standing, protect me in my Islam even when I'm sitting. So in all my states, protect me and protect my faith. Faith. And then along with that, you know, loss of faith is massive. So protection of faith is asking for a great thing, a very significant factor. So if the Prophet ﷺ is also adding to that, or if in this dua that's also added, which is, and do not let an enemy rejoice at my calamity, nor a hasid, nor a jealous person. Now, that's all related to this world, which we're all affected by. We see the effects of this, and we've seen it with other people, how what has come round has gone round. But the worst thing, which we haven't seen yet, is going to be on the Day of Judgment. That's going to be the worst situation. Because our enemy, if we're worried about our enemies in this world rejoicing, and you might think, well, in the hereafter, you know, who's going to rejoice? Everybody's going to be concerned. Well, Shaitan is going to rejoice. Because Shaitan will say in the hereafter, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relates in the Quran, وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدَ الْحَقِّ وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُمْ وَمَا كَانَ لِي عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ إِلَّا أَنْ دَعُوتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ مَا أَنَا بِمُصْرِخِكُمْ وَمَا أَنْتُمْ بِمُصْرِخِي إِنِّي كَفَرْتُ بِمَا أَشْرَكْتُمُونِي مِنْ قَبْلُ إِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. He becomes his major preacher in the hereafter. Shaitan will say, when all the decree has been, all the decree has taken place, and when the matter has been decided, he will then say that, look, Allah promised you something. Right? It's clear. Allah promised you something, and that was the true promise. Allah promised you the true promise. I also promised you some things, but he doesn't mention what his promises were like. We know what his promises are. Allah promised you the true promise. I also promised you something. And فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ I obviously went against my promise. وَمَا كَانَ لِي عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ I had no power. إِلَّا أَنْ دَعُوتُكُمْ I just invited you. I couldn't force you. I invited you and you answered me. You responded to me. فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي فَلَا تَلُومُونِي So now, don't censor me. Don't tell me off. Don't blame me. لُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ Blame yourself. مَا أَنَا بِمُسْرِخِكُمْ وَمَا أَنْتُمْ لِمُسْرِخِي I can't help you. You can't help me in this situation. Because إِنِّي كَفَرْتُ بِمَا أَشْرَكْتُمُونِي مِنْ قَبْلِ Now I am a kafir of the fact that you used to consider me to be a partner in the past. The fact that you empartnered me before and basically worshipped me before, I deny all of that right now. Because and the ظالمين, they have a severe punishment now. That's what shaitan is going to do and he's our enemy. So if we're worried about in this world where a misfortune hits us and people are rejoicing at that, that could be short-lived. Tomorrow it could all be, we'd get success again. But in the hereafter, if there is misfortune, then it's misfortune for a very long time, if not forever. Right, depending if it's a believer or a non-believer. But at the end of the day, shaitan will rejoice. So we need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and change our ways. One is we make tawbah, but the problem in our lives today is that many of us who are concerned about the hereafter make tawbah. They do istighfar. They feel bad. But unfortunately, the most difficult thing for most of us is that we have certain sins which are so rife in our community that we don't even think of them as wrong. And you'll see people who pray and do all the good things who are concerned as well, but a lot of these, you can say, ingrained, culturally acceptable or prevalent deeds and behavior is still prevalent within us. And that's very difficult. For example, just thinking, justifying the fact that you can rejoice at somebody else's calamity, ghibah, and things of that nature. They're just so normal that people do them. So although on one side we're concerned about these things, but until somebody doesn't highlight it a few times for us, it's not going to come. I don't know if this topic has, you know, been discussed enough, to be honest, this rejoicing at somebody else's calamity. That's why if you do mention it enough, then there will be people who will slowly start leaving this attitude and start recognizing that we also have these problems. Because as I've, as you see, you can sometimes only recognize a bad habit of yours when you're among people who don't have that same bad habit. Because we are the mirror of people. And if we are among a community who does the same thing all the time, then we don't really see that we're doing anything wrong. And when you suddenly see others in that same situation from another community, right, and they don't do the same thing, then you'll start realizing, hey, look, they act differently because they're acting different to expectation. So a lot of the time, it's not easy. That's the challenge. It's not easy to get rid of calamity, get rid of these ingrained, subtle, sometimes generally accepted or prevalent attitudes in our community. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us basira. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this self-introspection and understanding, and then overall allow us to actually relieve them. Where there's a concern, inshallah, there will be a way, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help. وَآخِرُ الدَّعْوَانَ أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ